Each year, Virginia schools suspend more than 180,000 students, 30,000 of them from elementary schools. And students of color, especially African-American boys, are at much greater risk of being kicked out. At the Legal Aid Justice Center, attorney Angela Chaffee says few of the offenses are serious.
Those students are being suspended for relatively minor misbehavior, such as being loud or disruptive in class, and we've got to be concerned about that because it really plants the seeds for all kinds of other troubling disparities in graduation rates, in incarceration rates, and in other outcomes down the road.
And University of Virginia education professor Dewey Cornell says suspension doesn't really address the problem.
We have students who misbehave because they don't understand what they're learning. We have students who misbehave because they're troubled about something that happened. Maybe they're being bullied. Maybe there's a problem at home. And that general principle of taking a problem-oriented approach to threatening behavior, seeing it as a symptom of an underlying problem, is something that the FBI and the Secret Service recommended that schools do.
He and his colleagues came up with a threat assessment program that involves teachers, administrators, social workers, and counselors. They try to figure out how serious the threat is, what's causing the problem, and what can be done.
We've trained over 1,000 schools that are now using our model in Virginia. They want to avoid overreacting to problems that are not that serious, but they also want to avoid underreacting to the really rare but serious cases that we sometimes see.
Cornell says Virginia is a leader in this field because the state ordered threat assessment on college campuses after the shootings at Virginia Tech, and more recently required it for elementary and secondary schools. Frankly, he adds, school shootings are relatively rare.
We hear about them, and it creates a perception that they're happening all the time. The average school will experience a student homicide about once every 6,000 years. We have 125,000 schools, and even though we have a handful of school shootings every year, statistically, they're very unlikely to occur in schools.
Still, having a threat assessment team in place could prevent a crisis by giving students, teachers, and parents a place to go with their concerns.
Real prevention has to start before there's a gunman in your parking lot. It has to start with children who are troubled, maybe the emergence of mental illness in some cases, but a variety of problems and issues that we can recognize. And in most school shootings, when we do investigations, we find out there were family members or friends who were concerned, didn't know who to go to for help. And that's where threat assessment teams can come in.
In the meantime, he's happy to report that threat assessment programs cut short-term suspensions by 15% and long-term suspensions by 25% without detracting from school safety. That, says lawyer Angela Chaffee, is an important message for schools.
We tend to think the only way to make schools safe is by sending students home when they misbehave, and the UVA study demonstrates that school safety and keeping young people in school go hand in hand.
She sees suspensions as the fuel for a school-to-prison pipeline and believes keeping students in class makes graduation and future employment more likely. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Suspension just provides a temporary reprieve from disruptive or unsafe behavior. It doesn't actually teach students how to behave in school. And when they come back, they are just more likely to act out to avoid work that is difficult for them, especially when they've fallen behind.
These guidelines involve a multidisciplinary team in every school, administrator, mental health professionals, school resource officers, who assess student behavior whenever there's a concern that a student threatens violence. You know, we can't predict who's going to get a heart attack or who's going to be in an automobile accident, but we know that we can prevent heart attacks, and we know how to prevent automobile accidents by identifying risk factors, by doing things for the general population that encourage health and well-being and positive behaviors and avoid risky behaviors. And we can apply the same principles to violence prevention. The studies we've done find that when schools use this approach, the students feel more respected, there's less bullying, and they also report greater willingness to seek help.